So sometimes when pastors are away, you get guest speakers. But lately, we've been getting guests from within, from our family. Floyd and Marjorie have been on our hearts actually for a couple weeks, even before we thought about doing this today. And on Friday, this was a little bit short notice, I'm not going to lie, for them. On Friday, Mary Lynn and I went to their home, and we had coffee and treats, and we sat with them, and we talked. There's some questions that we had brought with us. Really, we didn't need them. God knew exactly what was going to happen today, and we heard some of their story. We didn't hear it all. I didn't want to hear it all. I wanted to have some surprises. Their testimony and their story is powerful, and I believe that today it will touch some of your hearts, and that you will gain a better understanding of who they are and how great our God is, and what Jesus has done in their life, and how the Holy Spirit is growing them still, because he never stops. We can, but he never stops. They haven't stopped, I'll tell you that. So for those of you who don't know them, I think most of you do, this is Marjorie and Floyd. And they're going to share some of their story. So we're just going to chat. We're going to pretend we have our coffee and muffins. Be rude if we were eating and you guys weren't. So we decided not to. So, how did you come to give your life to Jesus?
I think I'll take that one because I was in the Armed Forces and we moved from Toronto to Gordon. And we did have...
Okay.
We got a marriage order and moved in. Our marriage was struggling at that particular moment as we moved up and as our furniture moved into our home. A little girl across the street from us sent over some coffee, some juice, cookies, and things like that. And I put my arm around my wife and I said to her, "Someone cares." Little did I know that 2 days later that she would be knocking at the door again and inviting Marjorie to a Bible study, of course, and this is, you know, we didn't do that. But anyway, she went and was intrigued and came home and tried to intrigue me as well. And it did sort of take hold, you know, of me, but it made me wonder, because this lady had something that I didn't have that I've always been searching for. She had a joy and a peace and love that I just couldn't understand. And the other thing that she had, really, was she knew where she was going. You know, I had a goal, was halfway there anyways, you know, in getting to heaven, but she knew exactly where she was going, and I wanted some of that, what she had. So, rather than give my life to the Lord at that particular moment, I sort of challenged him and just sort of, you know, if you're real, you can work on my life. And that was the beginning of the end, because what I was searching for was not a religion or a ritual or a law. I wanted something personal. And just with that little... talk with him, he revealed himself to me in a way that, you know, I thought, holy smokes, you know, he's straightened out my life, you know, the way that she wanted to straighten out and couldn't, you know, and all of a sudden he became Ruth or truth, and that's what I was looking for, some truth, found it, yeah, and it went from there, just grew and grew. And grew. And it's still growing, but I found him, and I can't find anything else that is more truth than him. So I stick with the truth.
Good. So a neighbor brought food, always food. There was something different about her. Invited you to Bible study.
Oh, that scared me. I'd never read a Bible in my life. That scared me. I thought, what is going on with these people? But I began to see that they had something that I had never experienced and never had. And I got angry one day, and I went home, and I knelt beside my bed. And I said, Lord, if this is really you, you got to show me, because I don't understand this. But what he showed me was awesome. And that was a long time ago. God was faithful.
Amen. How did you meet and begin your journey together?
Oh. Well, I'll give you a little bit of my version of it. I was 8 years old when the Nellis family moved next door. So I played with his sister and his brothers and Floyd, and we all grew up very close to each other as friends, went to school together, we lived beside each other. And so that was how we met. And then when Floyd turned 17, he left and went away. And so he was never thought about again in my mind until he came back from Europe the first time. And then we started to go out together.
Yeah, we were the same city, same street, same school, same church. From almost eight years old, probably before that, kindergarten right up through grade eight anyways. And then I went, she was always there, she was just there. I didn't recognize her, she wasn't anything special. But when I go away for 3 years and come back and she's next door, it's amazing what happens in 3 years. She became beautiful, somebody that I really wanted to spend some time with, and we did. I had 45 days leave that I stayed at home with, and we probably dated almost every day from there on in, and I was hooked. Love seems to do that to you. I did. In 45 days, I fell in love. Almost a year later, we got married, and I haven't looked back since. And she's still a treasure.
Okay. So you never know, right?
No, you don't know.
You never know. That's for the youth. You never know.
Do you know that that was 60 years ago? And here we are still. But I have to tell you, men and women do not think the same.
How has God been leading you in your journey? Some lessons God has been teaching you as you grow spiritually.
Oh, you want me to? All right. God has led me anyways in a special way. I think most religions are either law or rituals or some sort of man-made things. And if you're searching for anything at all in a spiritual way, I don't want to follow somebody who's or something that is man-made or man-initiated. Jesus seems to be able to reveal himself to you quite well. He doesn't really have any problems at all. And it is amazing what he does. Just in the last couple of years, I've realized that Easter is probably the best day of the whole year. I love it. Not because of the Easter eggs and all these other things, but there's a truth in a resurrection. Because if we don't have a resurrection, all we've got is another religion. So one of my favorite songs that Mary Lynn uses, two of them really, is In Christ Alone. I can say that without any qualms at all. In Christ alone, it's not Pentecostal church, it's not people, it's Jesus alone. And the other one that she does so well and she's only done it two or three times since I've been here, I think, is that it is finished. I can rest assured today that it is finished with Christ. Christ is my all in all. You know, and I make no qualms about that. I don't apologize for that. I live my life, and he's allowed me to live my life for him. He's changed me. Now, I think for the better, huh?
You were always special.
Your turn.
Oh, that's okay. I'm gonna repeat it. That's fine. How has God been leading you in your journey, and some lessons that God has been teaching you as you grow spiritually?
Oh gosh, I think we're always in lessons with the Lord. I think He's always trimming us and refining us. But my heart is hungry. I've come to a place in my life that I am so hungry for more of the Holy Spirit and more of the Lord. I think we're living in times that God is really calling us, and that He wants to use us to reach out to others. And I don't know, He just fills your heart. You know, you long for others to know what you've experienced and had also in your life. This church means so much to us. You have no idea. We came here back again to this area 36 years ago. We've been in this church for 36 years. But when we came to that church, when it was on Renfrew Street, Floyd and I were in the motel together. They misplaced our furniture, and so we were living in a motel. And we put hands together and we prayed that God would show us where we're to go, because we had experienced some of the Lord before that. We got saved in Borden, Ontario. And so here we were in another place again. We didn't know where we would go and what we should do. And when we prayed together, and we came to the church on Renfrew Street. And then Howie's dad, Howard Jessup, was the usher in that church. And he was so kind and loving to us that he made us feel so warm and comfortable. And when we went back to the motel, Floyd said, "I'm sure that's home. That's where God has placed us to be." And so that was a big move in our lives.
Of you and I coming to a place and being accepted. You know that was it. We were accepted. We felt home.
And I have to tell you, because this lady's sitting here and we appreciate her so much, the first people that asked us home for lunch after church, because we were living still in a motel, was Marjorie Raddatz and her husband Roy, and then also who else was there? Oh, I just lost it. Getting older, you get forgetful. Who was there, Marjorie? Yes. And so you remember that. We need to reach out to others also. We are a family, and we need to be a body together. And this is our extended family. Even though it's 36 years ago since we came here, we've stayed here in this area because this is where God has placed us to be. And so we're just so grateful for this wonderful church, these wonderful pastors, wonderful music. We love it. I think I jumped the questions.
It's okay. Could you tell us a little bit about your family, your kids, your grandkids? Tell us how many. And tell us how old you were or they were when you got saved.
I didn't even pay attention to this until the other day when I drove by the Pembroke Hospital, that's where my three children were born, right here in that Pembroke Hospital. And then when they were very young, we got posted to Europe, went to Germany, and we had 3 years there. And we moved around so much in our lives. And then what else do you add? I'm nervous, sorry about it.
Yeah. Well, Tracy and her husband are here now, and they have been such a blessing to us. You know, really, really. I absolutely love them both. You know, it's not fair that they came here to do this to us, but But I do. You know, Glenn has been a treasure. You know, he's been such a treasure. Tracy as well. We do have a son in Kingston and a daughter-in-law there. We visit them when we can, and we have one estranged son in BC that we won't go into that story though. But they've kept close. You know, they really have. But,
I'd like to give them praise also, because when this virus was here and we were locked up for 2.5 years, they fed us, they looked after us, they isolated themselves. They would tell us to come and meet them halfway from Deep River, and we would meet them in Petawawa, and they would load food into our car. They must have thought we were starving. But anyhow, they looked after us through this whole thing, and I just give them praise for what they did.
Absolutely.
For us. That's how important family is, is to reach out to one another. And that's what I see even in this little body, not a little body, but this body of Christ that we're part of. We need to really be there for each other and to reach out to each other and to love each other.
And you have grandkids and great-grandkids?
Yep.
Pardon me?
You have grandkids and great-grandkids.
Oh, my gosh. Tracy has one. We haven't been blessed with that. Well, because Tracy only had one child. Shame on her. But she's produced three, Amber, and they're all here. Like our oldest great-grandchild is 15, and then 15, 13, and 8. And then we've just met two of our great-grandchildren from Duane, who is our estranged son. But they've reached out, and we've seen them. 2.5 years ago, we met our great-granddaughter. She's 25. That was the first time we met her. And then just this Easter, our great-grandson came and visited us. He's 32, and it was the first time. And it was just an answer from God, you know, really.
He's not our great-grandson, he's their grandson.
Who, Adam?
Adam.
Yes, sorry,
yes. That was a miracle. That was a God moment that God opened the door 2.5 years ago that we met our granddaughter who we had never spoke to or met in our lives. And then at Easter time, we met her brother and they came here to church, and that was God. We don't know how that all happened, but the Lord is moving. He is doing things that we don't even understand, but it's awesome. We need to expect things from the Lord, things that God wants to work and do. Oh, I have to tell you that my great-grandson 2 weeks ago looked at me and said, "Grandma, were you here when the Second World War was on?" I said, "Well, I was 5 when it was over, but you never know what they're going to say to you."
Okay, this is a surprise question. Ready? Ready? Okay. So, I guess maybe because I work with the youth, would there be some advice that you have for a young teen as they grow and walk with God? Maybe they have doubts, maybe they are struggling, but I think there's wisdom in age, and I think that they could benefit from maybe something personal, maybe just a scripture.
The only thing I can really think of is, somehow we have to make Jesus real, and he is real. He can be trusted. If you can just invite him in, his love for you is tangible. I mean, I have personally felt the love of Christ as more so than the love that we share one with another. And it is so awesome. I don't know how to explain it really, because he is so much truth and so much love. You know, there's an old saying, there's nothing I can do to make God love me more, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. If we can instill that into their hearts and lives, you know, Jeremiah says God has a plan for us, a plan for hope and a future, a plan. He loves us. And if we can instill that into someone's heart and life, we can change the world.
I think it's a time that young people really need understanding. They're up against a lot of things. This is a hard time for kids growing up or even relating to others. And I don't know, I think we as families, we need to be really covering our kids in prayer. It's so important. And listen to them, spend time with them. I see my son-in-law, who's from a big family, and how they all, even to this day when they get together, and they include Floyd and I in the family now too, but how they just love one another and share one another. And they're real with one another. We gotta be real with each other. We can't pretend or put on facades. We just gotta face each day as it comes and give them time and to be with them.
The next question would be, how can we as a church family be praying for you guys? Because I know you're prayer warriors and you pray for us. Marjorie told me she doesn't sleep well, and when she doesn't sleep, she prays. She prays for people here, her family, and prayer is powerful.
It is. And to see the answers of prayers, and we got to believe God for those answers. You know, and we need to be praying for each other's burdens as we learn about them. And health issues always been a big thing for me, and I always appreciate the prayers for that, and for our children, for our grandchildren especially. We're very concerned about them. And one thing I was going to share, I may just go to that. We had a son when he was very young, and we were living in, I guess, Toronto. We didn't know that he was doing drugs. We didn't know that him and his friends would go out in the bush. This was in Borden, I guess, when we were. They'd go out in the bush and they'd smoke pot. We seen a big difference in his life, and it was a hard thing for us to deal. You're not prepared for these things that happen. When he went to university, he got into world religions. And when he would come to visit us, we began to see such changes in him, and it was very dangerous. I listened to a counselor the other day on the TV, and he was saying that addictions are on the rise with our young people. There's a great danger. Pornography is starting even around the ages of 10 and up. Another thing he talked about was about things that we're letting the children see and get interested in. We've got to stay on top of that. When my kids were in rock music, I remember my daughter saying to me that she would have migraine headaches in her room because of some of the pictures. I assumed it was the pictures on the wall. When my children weren't there, I laid hands on everything I could and covered it in the blood of Jesus and asked for protection on them. One time, my daughter had a book laying on a counter at home, and I picked it up. And I said, "Where did you get this book?" And she said, "We're studying this book in school." And I thought, this is not a proper thing for a girl to be studying. So when it was a parent teacher's night, I went to the meeting and I brought up the issue about this book. Now, one man made fun of me and said, "Oh, there's a book I'd like to read." But after it was over, one of the teachers took me aside and he said to me, "Mrs. Nellis, I'm so grateful for you speaking out about something that you believed was wrong." And he said, "I wish there were more parents that would do those things." And we need to be very careful today what our children are seeing. I'm so shocked at the commercials on TV. I can't believe what we're all seeing today. We're really living in a world that is changing drastically. And I believe the enemy is after our young people. So I think as parents and grandparents, great grandparents, we need to be in prayer for our families. It's important. And we need to really be interceding with the Lord on what is going on in families. And our children are precious. Our families are precious. I hope I'm not too strong on this, but this is really a burden on my heart. So I just leave it with you.
Having younger teens, I think that you're very right. Very right. As we come to the end of this interview, I mean, there's more. There's so much more. And I think, I didn't ask them this, but just knowing Floyd and Marjorie, if you're struggling, if you're lonely, if you need prayer, I think that this couple would be such an amazing couple to go to. I think you can trust them. Very knowledgeable on the word. Mary Lynn said when we were there that she used to call Floyd and say, "Where's this scripture?" And he would either have it like that or he'd call her back within a couple minutes. So deep roots in truth and the word. And also soft, kind, caring hearts. So maybe as we close, can you share a favorite Bible verse and why it's important or favorite to you? And both of you can, if you want.
This really comes to my mind. Psalms 139. I praise God that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you, Lord, when I was born together in the depths of the earth. When I was made in the secret place, I was a result of a rape in my life. My mother had been badly abused in a home, and I was the result of what had happened in her life. And then I was put in an orphanage. And this really, when I found out about this in my life, I never knew that I fit in or where I belonged. And it was always a problem in my life until the Lord came into my life and showed me how much he really cared about me and about you. And Floyd used to tell me this psalm all the time when I would get down. He would say, "You need to read Psalm 139 because it tells us what God has done for us." And I just shared that because I don't talk about that very often, I guess, but that scripture meant so much to me. How much God, I don't think we can even comprehend how much Jesus did for us and how much the Lord loves us.
Now, my favorite, one I use a lot is found in Galatians chapter 2. And it says, "If righteousness could be obtained by keeping the law, by going to church, by doing anything else, the right, you know, then Christ died for nothing." Think about that. Christ died for nothing. We don't need him if we can obtain the righteousness that he requires. He is it. Bottom line, Jesus is truth.
He is truth, especially in a world where a lot of people, not just young people, are searching for truth, and it can only be found in him. Yeah. Amen. I want to thank you so much for being willing, for sharing your heart, for sharing struggles, for sharing triumphs, and for being an amazing part of PPT Church and family.